Hey, Ben.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
It's pretty good, pretty good. Just got off work.
Yeah,
There's a whole bunch of Indian food here.
What's it like being back at work after a vacation?
You know, it's again my policy not to talk about work on the podcast. So I can say, in general, right? It's kind of back into the swing of things, you know. It didn't really take me that long to get, you know, caught up and stuff. Maybe after the podcast I can talk to you about some things that, you know. I guess if I can be vague, same old, right? Depending on the type of job you do, may not be, like, great, but depending on the people you do the job with, may just be fine. I really liked being on vacation, but I also am comfortable with my routines. I enjoy having my bed that I sleep in, you know. I enjoy being around the cat, all that stuff.
I know what you mean. I cat sat and house sat for some friends of ours, and it was nice not having to go to somebody else's house in the evening. It was nice being at my own house and not worrying about the health and well-being of somebody else's cats and plants.
Yeah, I really do encourage people to find a house or a den or whatever and just live in it, you know. And if somebody comes by, threaten them, try to make yourself look bigger so that they run away.
If you have four legs, stand on all fours and arch your back. And if you only have two legs, lift your hands above your head.
That's also.
Give the appearance of being kinda taller.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Don't let them push you around. What did they ever do, I ask you? Ben, I missed our chats, our talks. I'm glad to be back in that routine as well.
What did you what were you doing last Thursday at, what would it be? It would be 7 o'clock in Florida time or Georgia time?
Yeah, I would have been. I think I would have been.
7 o'clock on Thursday. Where? Did you have a feeling, like an empty feeling inside, or just that tingling sensation,
you know,
that you needed to do something?
I didn't know what it was exactly. 7 o'clock on Thursday. Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Let me see here.
4 o'clock on Thursday, my time. I don't know what I was doing. I was probably. Let's see, Thursday. Oh, you know what that was? That was opening day of the 2018 Major League Baseball season. So I was at the house I was cat sitting at, watching the baseball game on their very large movie screen down in the basement.
Wow. Hey, do you remember what the date of that was?
March 30th.
Did you just say March 30th and I just wasn't listening?
I did not.
I think it's possible. Okay, March 30th. Let's see.
You never listen.
It's true. Hey, wait a second. I heard that. Hey, we did something. So let's see. March. I'm looking.
What are you looking at?
At my camera roll.
Oh, your camera roll.
Yeah. Albums. There's got to be a way to sort by date, right?
Well, I know that when you import them into Apple Photos, it automatically sorts them by date.
Yeah, here we go. So last Thursday, right?
Yeah.
March 31st, you said?
My 30th.
Or 29th.
30th.
March 30th. Oh, that's weird.
I'm pretty sure Thursday was the 30th. No, Thursday
Friday,
was
March,
the 29th.
Friday, March 30th.
Thursday was the 29th.
Thursday was the 29th. Okay, I think I can tell you exactly what I was doing. Let's see. At what time again?
It would be
Your time?
7 p.m. Did you take like a picture every hour on the hour?
About, yeah. 7 p.m. Okay. I'm thinking that this was 7 p.m. your time?
It would be no, 7 p.m. local time for Florida
Oh, okay.
or Georgia, wherever
All
the heck
right.
you were.
If this time, right? Because I'm not positive. If this time is corrected for that, I would have been somewhere in between going to Golden Corral and going to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Haha, I caught you. We know
So
where you were. Information you generally don't
yeah.
like to divulge.
Oh yeah. So I was probably at the hotel or the resort. Oh, that's one thing that I did. I made some good choices, I think. The resort that we stayed at, right?
Did you pick it out?
So I'm there. Now we got this place because we got to this place because Jennifer's mom is part of a thing. Like a vacation club timeshare sort of thing. And I'm going to get the parking pass, and the guy there is like, so when do you want breakfast? And I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. He goes, or lunch, whatever. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, well, I guess that's weird, but the hotel has like a breakfast that you can go to. Normally, there's a lot more than that, but maybe it's just like one breakfast for a trip or whatever. So I get a time from Jennifer, and I'm filling out the thing, and I get back up to the hotel room, and it like has this thing about a 30-minute lecture, and then you also get a gift card, and I'm like, oh no.
That's how they
So
get you.
Jennifer and I talk about it, and we're like, well, you know, it's a gift card, it's money, I might as well do it. How bad could it be? And then we're at Universal Studios, which, by the way, I'll talk to you about Universal Studios in a second. But when we're leaving that first time, there's another person there. Like, hey, how would you like to get a $100 gift card? All you
Yeah.
need to do is attend our presentation. We're like, okay, we're already signed up to go to a presentation, and I had switched it from the once I found out what it was, I switched it to a later date so that we didn't have to, deal with it on one of the dates, because we were going to Universal Studios on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I
Yeah.
switched that other one to Thursday. And then these other people asked us, hey, do you want to do this? So I was like, yeah, sure. And I signed up for one the next day. Jennifer and I talked about it, but I just kept thinking about it, and I started reading about how these things, they say it's 90 minutes, but it can also be up to like 3 hours and
What?
all this other stuff. Yeah. And the amount, they say that you can resell it, but the amount that you can resell it for is like peanuts compared to what's going on. And as you may or may not remember, I need to think about getting another car because the old one
Right. You blew a head
gave
gasket.
up the ghost. Yep, exactly. So I was like, I'm not
A
spending.
new car, $100 gift card at a time.
Yeah, this was the vacation that I the first vacation we really ever took as a family.
Yeah.
And Betty's 12, right?
Yeah.
So, am I going to sign up for a thing that I, will use once a decade? And they say, of course, well, if you have this, then you'll go on more trips. And I'm like,
Right.
nope. Not gonna happen. So I canceled the two things, and I felt so good about it. I was happy for the rest of the time. And then I bought an awesome hat. So here's the thing about Universal that I want to tell you about.
Okay. Lay it on me.
The Harry Potter exhibit at Universal is amazing. Simply amazing. I am saying this as someone who likes to go on, like to amusement parks and stuff like that. Even though I don't go that often anymore, I used to go to Six Flags over Mid-America all the time.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that park. Lots of ride. I like riding the Screaming Eagle roller coaster. The Mine Train is also really cool. You know, and I like all the, they're basically, amusement parks are kind of like giant sets in theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that isn't the stuff that it really is, but it kind of looks like the stuff, and it's cool, right? And I like that wood smell of all the assembled amusement park rides and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I have a special love in my heart for amusement parks and things. Universal Studios, when you're outside of the Harry Potter thing, very much like that. You know, a lot of different... you know, wooden attractions and things. They have a lot of Universal characters and stuff like that. When you get to the Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, when you get there, Ben, you actually, all of the quality just goes up a notch. I mean, the stuff looks perfect.
That doesn't surprise me. And J.K. Rowling probably has a larger GDP than most countries.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I really think if the food that you get at the restaurants, restaurant quality food, not park quality food, restaurant quality food, all the different snacks and stuff, you know, they have booths that are selling things different than the rest of the park. They're all their own things. Betty got some Ravenclaw robes when she was there. And I got a hat. The hat and the Ravenclaw robes are of really, really great quality.
Did you get a wizard hat?
Well, it's sort of a wizard hat. Yeah, yeah. I have a picture of it, which I can send to you.
Sure, you do.
Of me wearing it. It's a wizard hat. I think I want to say that Ron Weasley's dad wore it in one of the movies. Not that one, obviously. A production of it, maybe, but. But it's really great. It's a really high quality hat, like one that you would buy at a fine hat store. If I had had $450, which I don't, they were selling stuff that I could have bought for $450 or even, you know, $150, $200, you know, whatever, like lots of different things. And they all looked like they were worth that much money.
Really? Like,
Yeah.
Because that goes
against
the feeling that everything in amusement parks or in tourist destinations are overpriced.
Right. That's exactly. I mean, this was still expensive stuff, but it looked to me like it was worth it.
It's funny that you say that parks are like theater sets, because Cole and I are working on the next Panel Jumper script, and it's about this guy who wanted to create a theme park to finance a movie. But the theme park would also double as the set for the movie.
Oh, that's great. I love that
idea.
And
Jack Kirby designed it. It eventually never happened.
I know what you're talking about, I think. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know about the Jack Kirby theme park thing.
Yeah. Science Fiction Land in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
Based on...
I really...
Yeah, Zelazny's novel, Lord of Light.
There was a chance... that Kansas was going to have a Wizard of Oz theme park at one point in time. They were talking about it. And if that had happened, I would be working there right now, because I swore that that is what I would do for life.
Be a carny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At the Wizard of Oz, though. And I mentioned this in a series of tweets that you may or may not have seen. But I realize now a lot of people, when they write books, they're thinking about the movie that it might become, or they're thinking about the video game that it might become.
Yeah.
And really, honestly, when I wrote my book, if you read it and you think about it, I was really thinking about an amusement park, like how you could make a thing out of this deal. And so seeing that happen... for the Harry Potter books was kind of great.
Yeah.
Oh, the ride was great too. I mean, there are two different rides. One is Escape from Gringotts, and the other one, you're in the castle itself. The one with the castle is really, really great. The Green Gots one is pretty good too. Don't get me wrong.
Now the Green Gots. Those scenes in the books and to some extent in the movies were reminiscent of the mine shaft ride or sequence from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And so,
yeah, I can see that.
Did the escape from Gringotts have a Temple of Doom feel to it, like with a Harry Potter patina plastered on everything?
Yeah. Sort of, definitely. I mean, you're on these tracks, and you're being flung from one place to another.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was all really, really great. And the fun thing is that they actually have the characters from the movie, like kind of there with you. On screens and stuff going, come on, this way, and hey, hold on, you know, and so that's kind of cool. There are characters that you can interact with. Betty interacted with one. It's on the Instagram feed. It was the guy who's the porter for the night bus, so that was kind of cool. And then the one thing that is weird is that Universal, you know, has this big Harry Potter thing. And then they have branded content from, like, other movies there as well. But, like, one of them was San Andreas. You know, the earthquake movie.
Right, yeah.
With The Rock. So, coming from the incredible world of Harry Potter and going into a fake San Francisco with earthquake-themed stuff was just weird. But they also have a cartoon section that is kind of cool. I took pictures. If you guys know about my Instagram feed, I think it's just Paul Goody, all one word. Pretty sure. I have some pictures of stuff that I took over there.
Meet the man who doesn't know his Instagram.
Yeah, I have other stuff that I should be putting up there that I just haven't yet. But someday I will. Another thing that I figured out, Ben.
What's that, Paul?
You'll be proud of me, maybe.
I'm always proud of you.
Were you in school in the 70s or 80s? You're in school in the 80s.
80s?
In the 70s at all?
No, I was four. I turned four in 1980. I can't remember when I started kindergarten.
Did anyone try to teach you the metric system in school? Like, full on.
No, it was never actually taught. I do remember I do remember when it was like we were close to getting it.
Yeah.
But for me, it was never actually taught in school.
Because they were trying to get it. And you remember this. I will occasionally, it's one of the things that I harp on all the time of, oh, we should follow the metric system.
Yeah.
Because it'd be better. And then I just realized that my phone, right, can be switched over to the metric system. So I've been living kind of the metric system lifestyle for the past 2 days, and it works out all right.
I'm pro metric system, but I'm at that age where I don't adapt easily.
Yeah.
And so I'm pro metric system because it is a better and easier to learn system, but I'm anti-metric system because I'm 42. I've been dealing with inches and feet and miles my whole life. I don't want to change. I don't want to learn new things.
Well, the cool thing about it is that if you're in your car, right, and it says in 100 kilometers turn left, and you know where you're turning, you get to figure out how far a kilometer is. You know,
yeah, pretty quickly.
That way, it's even better with meters. You know, in 100 meters, turn left, and you can actually gauge with your eye. Oh, that's probably 100 meters. I get it.
I don't though have the voice system when I use GPS in the car.
Hmm.
It doesn't.
Gotcha.
I don't. It doesn't talk to me.
Well, I actually turned mine off. They're on mute now. Both of them. I say both of them. Sometimes I use Apple Maps. Sometimes I use Google Maps. It just depends. Some are better at other things.
I use Waze as my GPS. Have you heard of Waze?
Yeah.
You don't sound thrilled.
Why did I sound so bitter? I don't care about those guys. I'm not mad at them. No, it really is. We talk about being old. I'm like, oh, another thing. Great. Now there's more of it.
Waze is great because it'll tell you where the cops are.
Ooh.
That's one of the benefits.
How does it do that? Does it source other people?
It is. It is the more active user base there is, the more accurate it is. But you can report speed traps. You can report cops sitting on the side of the road. You can report accidents. Or you can even report potholes in the road. Although, I've come across some pothole reports as I'm driving along the freeway, but it doesn't tell you what lane it's in.
Oh.
So if you're driving along at night, you know, good luck.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, speaking about driving along at night, Better Call Saul, season 3 is on Netflix, so I'm starting to watch that.
I've seen season 3. We watched it as it was being released.
Yeah. Don't tell me. Oh, that's something else. Do you know and I hate calling her this because I should know her name, but I don't. The woman who was Matilda. In the movie Matilda.
I can't help you. I never saw it.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's an actress who now does some work with Welcome to Night Vale and stuff like that. She was Matilda in Matilda. I don't remember her name. But she's on Twitter, and I just realized that it wasn't her who posted this. It was Bonnie Burton who posted this. So forget everything I said about... I guess I follow that person on Twitter also. But Bonnie Burton. Bonnie Burton is a journalist and an author and a all-around cool person.
Never heard of her.
Who used to work for Star Wars. Lucasfilm gave Betty a huge package of Star Wars stuff. Back when Star Wars it didn't have the revitalization that it had at the time, you know, with all the new movies and stuff like that. This was like post-prequel before the new films.
In the post-prequel, so in the valley of Star Wars hippiness.
Yes, exactly. And so anyway, so I followed her and she's great and she, you know, writes for stuff. And she's writing this thing where somebody yelled at her for spoilers, right?
Yeah.
She wrote about something. Somebody yelled at her for spoilers about something that was in the trailer of the film. And she made a point, if it's in the trailer for the film, it really can't be a spoiler.
Right.
And it made me realize that there is a difference between, like, a legal spoiler, right? Like, yes, this is an actual spoiler. Like, one spoilers for The Matrix. Like, the thing about Neo waking up in the tube, you know, when... I don't know if you remember this, but when Neo actually wakes up and you realize that he's in this virtual reality kind of thing... That was a shock. Like, there hadn't been anything in the...
You mean when he wakes up in the actual reality?
Yeah. There hadn't been anything about that in the trailers at the time that I saw The Matrix.
Yeah.
So that, I would think, would actually be kind of a spoiler. But, yeah, the idea that he knows Kung Fu or whatever, or... Or he fights Agent Smith. You know, that's something that you could see.
I think a lot of movies will spoil things in the movie, in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, and that was the other point I was going to say is, so Jennifer Pratt, my wife, who we shall mention again later, has this thing that she mentions a lot, which is that if something is written well, finding out something about the plot can't really spoil it because, you know, if it's written well, you can go in there knowing stuff about it and still enjoy it.
Right.
You'll like it in a different way, but it won't spoil your enjoyment of the thing.
Yeah.
And of course my rebuttal to that idea, when I'm being a jerk, is always, that's why when we tell jokes, we tell the punchline first, because the order doesn't matter.
This joke is so well
but
written.
I'm being a jerk when I say that. Obviously, I get her point. Hamlet is a good example, although I think someone, maybe Jennifer, might make the argument that Hamlet isn't well written. It's possible. but the idea, you know that if you go into Hamlet and somebody says everybody dies in the end, and then you watch it, it doesn't really ruin the play.
Yeah, well, I mean, people were giving fake spoilers for when Titanic was released, and they're like, "Oh, the boat sinks in the end." And
yeah.
You know, even if that was an original story, right? Even if it wasn't based on something that had actually happened, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm assuming that 2.5 hours, the boat sinking in the end, is probably not a major plot point for the enjoyment of the entire movie. At least I hope it wouldn't be. Unless the movie's 2.5 hours of, I hope this boat doesn't sink.
So you might be around the right age for this, but there was a time when I would see graffiti on things that says Frodo lives.
Yeah.
And what that was spoilers for the Lord of the Rings books. Because people were afraid that he was going to die and stuff. And so you would see it and it would say Frodo lives. And then I started seeing graffiti, but I didn't know that. I didn't know what Frodo lives means, right?
Yeah.
But then I saw people spray painting Jesus lives. And I thought, as a young Christian boy at the time, oh, that's great. People are you know, celebrating Jesus. I didn't realize until I got older, in my 40s, that they were joking about how, in the end of the book, the Bible, Jesus lives, drawing a parallel. Like, they were making a funny joke.
Oh, you think that's what Jesus lives is?
Like, they were spoiling the Bible
for
people.
Just a reference to is the Bible?
I think they were making a reference
to... I mean, Lord of the Rings. Well, for some people, Lord of the Rings is the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, the Cimarelli... How do you pronounce it? I don't remember.
Cimarelcom?
Anyway, speaking about that... But first, I just want to say this. Jennifer does run out of... movie theaters with her eyes closed and hands over her ears sometimes if she knows that there's a movie that she wants to see. It's not that she doesn't want spoilers, it's just she wants to enjoy that. Well, I guess, I mean, in a way, she wants to enjoy the things all the way through the first time, basically. I would say that's sort of avoiding spoilers. Well, I'll have to talk to her about that and figure out exactly where the difference lies. But I was going to say the Cimmerillion, or how do you pronounce it?
I can't remember. It's similar something or other.
Well, your friend and mine, Stephen McCandless, sent me a copy of Microscope by Ben Robbins, also known as the other Ben. Every once in a while, a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah. Did Ben write a book?
Ben wrote a game called Microscope, and it's great. I would recommend Microscope to anybody who is writing a science fiction shared world, or not even a science fiction shared world, just any shared world. It's a game, right? It's fun. You can play it, but it also is a great tool for creative folks, and they really did a good job with it. Steven sent it to me because he thought that maybe I had lamented how hard it was to get Betty to play role-playing games with me. Because she doesn't want dice and she doesn't want character sheets and stuff like that. And this is none of those things. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that it's for creating lore, which is something that she loves.
Excellent.
So Jennifer and Betty and I are probably going to play that game, and I will let you know how it goes.
Sounds like it's right in her wheelhouse.
Exactly. Speaking of wheelhouses and speaking of my wife, Jennifer, hey, have there been any corrections sent in?
Let me check. Why don't
okay,
you,
while Ben checks, I'll tell you exactly what we're talking about. This podcast doesn't have a lot of structure to it, but the one thing we do have going for us is we decided pretty early on that we were going to try to do the entire podcast without looking things up. lots of times people do podcasts that are based around something like, say, murders. And then the people start talking about the murders, and you would expect that they would do some research, but they don't. Or sometimes they do, but they don't do a lot of good research, whatever. They still talk about it. And I realized early on that people mistake themselves to be experts of things sometimes just because they can look something up online and all of a sudden they know something about it. So they have a surface level idea of stuff, but they don't actually have knowledge of it. And I realized that I myself was being tricked into thinking I knew more about things than I did because of my ability to Google things. So I proposed to Ben, and Ben agreed that we would do this show without Googling stuff. We would try to just use our brains. And what we learned pretty early on is that we get things wrong all the time. And so this gave us our basic singular feature of the show, which is corrections, where listeners will write in and correct things that we were wrong about in our previous episodes. And by far, the most corrections have been given to us by my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who is a very smart person. And Ben, has she done any corrections
There's just
time?
One small correction today.
Okay. If you have corrections that you would like to send, please send them to Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
Is indeed, that correct, Ben? That is correct.
And we will read your corrections on the podcast. And if you have any questions, send them to the same email address. We will answer your questions on the podcast with just what's in our tiny little brains. All right. So, Ben, go ahead with the correction.
We were talking about, Casey St. Ong's novel?
Yes.
She says it's titled Jane Jones, Worst Vampire Ever. And that is all.
Jane Jones, Worst Vampire Ever. What was that last part?
Worst. And I said that is all.
Okay. That is all is a John Hodgman book. Jane Jones, Worst Vampire Ever. It's a great little book. I recommend it. I enjoyed it when I read it, which was a while ago. And you should read it too.
I have
everybody.
Not read it. I still have Jason Schmidt's book on my nightstand that I need to finish reading called A List of Things That Didn't Kill Me.
Yes, yes. Jason Schmidt. It is under Jason Schmidt. That is the author.
Yeah, that is his author's name.
Author's name. We have several different friends of ours who go by other names.
Indeed.
For writing purposes. Yeah, I publish everything under my name, even when I probably shouldn't. but it seems to work out all right so far. On the book level, I've sold like 4, maybe. Which is, you know, people might say, well, that's not a lot. But it actually kind of is because I'm not doing any advertisement other than writing a blog post about it.
Talking about it on here, too. I'd hardly call saying something on here advertisement. But so I know in CreateSpace, you can see who buys something.
Yes, you cannot if they buy it on Amazon.
So,
and that's where people have been buying them.
All right. So I was going to ask if you knew everybody who bought a copy.
No. But I can say that I probably do know everyone who bought a copy. I just don't know who they are.
Well, someone posted a picture of it. I think it might have been Steven.
Yeah. Yeah, Steven bought one.
On
I know that
Facebook.
For sure. Also, and now that I think about it, I've sold 6 copies because I know someone at work bought 2 just recently. And that's before I got that other thing in. Oh, this guy, I think he'd be fine with me saying it. His name's Jeremy Burton. He is writing a book as well, which I've gotten a chance to see some of. And I like it a lot. He has not put it out yet. When he does, I will blurb it.
What
and,
genre
tell you
is
guys
it?
About it? It's science fiction.
Okay.
But I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to say anything else about it because I don't want to...
That's why I asked what genre it was and not what's it about.
Yeah, exactly. I would be worried if something were to happen for me talking about it on here.
Here's what it's about. Here's how it ends.
One of our two listeners goes out and starts writing it.
Yeah.
based on the. We have more than two listeners sometimes. It's true. We have subscribers.
We do have
maybe
some.
They listen to it.
I don't know if they listen to everything.
Who would? Ugh. Yikes.
I don't even listen to all the podcasts that I do.
Oh, yeah. Speaking about... Oh, yeah. Why would you? Wait, don't you do two? Do you do more than...
No, I only do two right now.
Okay. All right. Let me know.
I'm actually going to the comic book store right after this, and we're going to record three more of the Perfect Bound podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You record a lot of your podcasts. This is me crinkling up a bag, or you're listening to me opening a bag, because there's food in here, Ben.
We get together.
I can smell it.
We get together once every 3 weeks and record three episodes. That way, we're not bothering ourselves every week for an hour.
Ah, yes. Well, it is different when you do it over the phone versus when you do it in person.
Yeah.
So sorry about the, like I said, sorry about the noise.
It's not me you need to worry about alienating.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Jennifer, this is the food that we bought. I'm looking at. I don't know what. Huh. We ordered a bunch of different things. And I'm not sure what I'm looking at here. Okay, I guess this is.
You don't know what food you have in your hand.
Exactly. Yeah. It's. I can't describe it. I don't know what's what exactly.
Are they like chips or something?
No, that's all Indian food. It looks like sauces, and I was just expecting that there would be more things. It's like sauces and naan and...
Maybe it's something you need to cook and assemble.
Yeah. Hmm. This is weird. I'm going to have to ask Jennifer about it. I took a bite out of something. Sorry, Jennifer.
It's possible. It's like a packet, or sometimes sauces come in solid form, and you have to like put them in water and melt them.
Well, it's just weird. Jennifer, you're gonna hear me talking to you. Like, hey, Jennifer.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the food, and I don't know what it is.
You don't know what's in there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I'm looking at it, and I can't tell what's what exactly. I think I'm basically supposed to put it on rice. Like there's sauce stuff. I think the sauces are the actual meal thing. And then you're supposed to put it on rice. So is this the thing that I ordered?
I believe so.
And do you remember what it was called?
No.
Okay. So I'm looking at something that I think I ordered.
This butter chicken.
And Jennifer got the butter chicken.
And then this is the type of fried bread.
I ate some of the fried bread. Jennifer ate some of the fried bread. And then there's naan.
And then
so,
there's
yeah.
Naan. And
I guess
there's going to be rice.
This is the rice right here.
Right.
So Ben, you've now heard everything that we got in described in glowing terms.
It was something...
Pakoras?
No, you wanted paneer something, and I got the one that's
the one that wasn't the paneer version. There was some Ben. I'm sorry, I am so sorry about how vague I'm being right now.
What else?
I'm dealing with Indian food, and the difficulty with me talking about Indian food or eating Indian food is I don't know how the things are pronounced once they leave my head. But rice, I can do rice. R-I-C-E, rice.
One of
That's
the things that always gives me anxiety is going to like a dinner party at someone's house or going to a new restaurant and not knowing how to eat the food that is presented in front of me.
Oh yeah,
like I went to a dinner party. Blair and I went to a dinner at one of her coworkers' houses, and the coworker made this great meal, but there was like leaves of lettuce and then like meat and things and like tortillas, but it was not obvious, it was not freely available how this person would like me to
expected
eat.
You
like
to...
is the tortilla the method with which I pile up all of my meats and vegetables, or is it the lettuce leaf, because I've seen that done before. Fortunately, yeah, the first time I ever went to an Ethiopian restaurant, I went with friends who had been there or been to an Ethiopian restaurant before and told me how to eat everything.
Hey, wait. When you went to that Ethiopian restaurant, was it before we saw a movie?
It was in Columbia City.
Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
It might have been that one. Cause I
believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like you and me and Steven and I think maybe Pamela.
Jennifer was there.
Maybe. And Jennifer.
Yeah, that was when Jennifer and I were kind of dating. I don't know if we were fully dating. Jennifer would be able to tell me.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't unless I get it wrong and then I feel bad.
In which case, she'll let us know.
Yeah, but I can tell you that I loved her while I was at that Ethiopian restaurant. Because, yeah, I was impressed at the fact that she knew what was going on. So, so this is a question also. Karhipakora. What is it called?
Karhipakora.
Karhipakora, that's what I'm eating.
There was a paneer kari, but we didn't get that because it wasn't on the same menu.
So I'm getting closer to Jennifer. I'm getting closer to her. Jennifer, I have a question for you.
Wait.
When we saw Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow,
yes,
at the Ethiopian restaurant, were you and I officially dating at that time or not?
We didn't see it in an Ethiopian restaurant.
Well, I'm sorry. We went to an Ethiopian restaurant. Then you have a good
point. I was thinking the same thing.
Were we officially dating?
Yeah. Were we there as a couple or were you hanging out as friends?
Oh, by Sky Captain?
Mm-hmm.
We saw it at the Columbia City Theater.
It was at the Columbia City Theater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I think we were dating.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're married now,
it's
so.
It's right on the verge. That's
we know how it ends.
Yeah.
But, spoilers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, you're welcome.
And say hello to yourself in the future.
Hello, future Jennifer. Try not to do too many bad things.
Good advice for all of us.
Never mind. F*** it. Just do whatever you want.
Mark it down. So I have given myself some Indian food, and I am now going to eat tiny bits of it. So far, it's good.
I thought you're not allowed to eat on the podcast, Paul.
What's that?
I thought you were not allowed to eat on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for this, I think. Ooh, boy, Ben. I got to tell you. So this place is called Taj, T-A-J.
Yeah.
And I ordered it a 3 for spicy. And I am going to be probably the only one eating this because it is great.
3 out of 3 spicy or 3 out of 5 or what's the scale there?
I think it's 3 out of 5.
Okay.
But it's good. I'm tearing up a little bit.
You digging the spiciness? It's mm-hmm. something I never got the spicy gene. I can't really handle spicy foods. When I was in college, some friends of mine and I went to Hooters. Don't judge. Wasn't my idea. But we went to Hooters, and everybody I was there with was either from Vietnam, from Taiwan, or from Singapore. Those were all my friends.
Right.
And we ordered the hot wings, and they all wanted the hot wings. And when the hot wings came, I started eating it. And like Nat, one of my friends, I think he was the one from Singapore. He's like, oh, this is white boy spicy. And I'm over in the corner tearing up. Because it's so spicy. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's terrible.
So I work with a bunch of different people. But one of the things that happened when I moved to the Midwest is just the amount of complaining that some folks do about spicy food is incredible. Like, they'll order stuff with 0.
Yeah.
Like, 1 to 5, 0. Yeah. Don't spice it.
That's
because
me.
Because they're... Right, because they can't handle what it is.
Yeah.
This 3, though, This three, I believe, is an actual three. Tastes like. Because sometimes there's a sliding scale, you know what I mean? Like, you go to the Chinese restaurant, you order it as a three, and they look at you and they go,
I have heard that there is... I have heard anecdotes of racial profiling from counter workers at restaurants where they will give you, like, the white boy spicy scale or the
right.
You're from this region, and so you know what spicy really is scale.
And you know, this is one of those things where it must come from... I've told you before about how when you get to the martial arts supply space, or the martial arts supply store, and there's a big sign that says, don't sit on glass counter, and there's a huge crack in the counter, you kind of know what happened. I can only imagine that this is one of two things. One is perhaps xenophobia on the part of the white people, where they themselves are saying, oh, I bet you that these folks treat me differently.
Yeah.
You know, when in fact they don't.
Yeah.
It's possible. However, the other option, which I think is just as likely, is this store has realized that they get super complaints whenever they apply the same scale to everybody.
I think...
And just out of self-preservation and necessity, they're like, all right, fine, we're going to...
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that second point. That's what I was thinking, is that they've just had to field one too many complaints from people who just can't stomach their food because it's so spicy.
You are even... You... This isn't a three... You did this on purpose. You're trying to poison me or whatever.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, are people like that out there.
Ben.
And they're calling from inside
the
house.
The YouTube thing. Do you know about it?
You know, when I first heard about this, and for those podcast archaeologists who have unearthed this in the far future, we're talking about this shooting that happened at YouTube headquarters on April 3rd, I think. It was like 2 days ago. And when
sounds about right.
When I first heard about there's an active shooter at YouTube campus, I thought to myself, I didn't say this out loud, I didn't put this on social media, but I thought to myself, well, that's probably someone upset with YouTube's new policies.
Yes.
And it actually turned out somewhat true.
Could you explain the policy, what it was?
I can't. I cannot.
All right, so...
YouTube has made a lot of changes, which actually affects a lot of independent creators like myself. All of my channels have been demonetized.
Your channels have been demonetized.
My channels have been demonetized by YouTube because I don't have enough views and I don't have enough hours watched.
Hmm.
And YouTube actually implemented this policy to prevent people from taking original YouTube content and reposting it to get hits. And sure, they may do that, they may have done that, but it also affects independent creators like myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, too bad for you, first of all, I will say that. Because I remember there was some surprise money that you got from one of your videos, if I remember correctly. Like, it turned out to be popular or whatever. And Jennifer, I'm really sorry. I was just so hungry.
I know
that I have my mouth full. I apologize.
I did get $11 from Google 1 year because a video got a lot of hits. But that video has now been, it's now been demonetized. But before it was demonetized, it was marked as inappropriate because it was a video of two lesbian nuns making out.
Oh, right, from Penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, too bad for that. But here's the thing that was interesting. When people heard about the shooting, right?
Yeah.
They had in their head, I believe anyway, a specific type of person in mind.
Yes.
For who Because one of the things they were doing was like videos about modifying guns and stuff like that was something that was at least reportedly targeted.
Yes, a lot of gun, I don't want to say gun fanatic, but gun aficionado videos were taken down.
Yes. So then a shooting happens, people assume that this is what happens, but no.
People assume it's a white Christian male.
The shooter ends up being a Baha'i, that's a religion, and then a woman of Iranian descent, I believe, with a handgun, who is vegan and a member of PETA and all sorts of stuff like that. But the thing is, and I urge people to, well, no, I don't. You know what? Why sensationalize killers or anything? Not good, or, you know, violent people. Ugh, I'm backpedaling off of this, Ben. But what I was going to say is that I took a look because I wanted to see who the person was, and their photographs are really interesting, like performance arty type stuff. Something that I did not expect to see. This is my point. When I was looking up the name of this person, right?
Yeah.
I was not expecting to see something as unique as what I was looking at.
Well, because we haven't, we don't see that. You know, the right will tell you that who we have to, the only thing we have to fear are Muslims themselves. But a majority of the mass shootings in this country have been perpetrated by white males. And so when you see, when you hear, oh, a shooting at some sort of corporate headquarters, you think, oh, it's either a disgruntled employee, is probably a white male, or another white male of some sort. And then it's that you automatically go there because we've been conditioned to go there.
Jennifer, this is me apologizing to you in person during the podcast for eating during the podcast that you're going to be listening to.
I will say that I did not look into
She just rolled her eyes at me and
I didn't,
moved me to
I
one
did
side.
Not look. I'm trying to cover for this. I did not look into the background or the other videos of the shooter.
Uh-huh.
But what I did, and I rolled my eyes too, not at what you just said, but that my alt-right friends on social media are going to latch onto this.
Yeah. The big thing is, Baha'i is not the same as Muslim. That's one of the huge things.
Oh, no.
So...
Close.
But here's the other
thing. That doesn't matter. She's non-white.
Well...
That's all that matters to some people.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing is that... Shooting somebody with a handgun is also not very Baha'i. So you got a lot of different things happening there.
Yeah.
I also have to say, Ben,
I didn't know
Indian
what kind of gun she had.
Is great.
What's that? Were you complimenting your food?
Yeah. It was good, right. Food.
I didn't
food.
Know what kind of gun
Taj
she had
in Edwardsville.
I didn't know what kind of gun she had. But hearing that she had a handgun and not an assault rifle. You know,
that's correct.
I don't think anybody did. Anybody die? I know people were injured, but did anybody die?
Ooh, hey Ben, that's a good question. I think I want to say no. I want to say somebody was in critical condition.
Yeah.
And I want to say that there were, again, the person that I heard this from is somebody that I talk to about gun issues. Sometimes they're much on the pro gun side of things,
right?
But I believe that he was stated that there were like three injuries due to the gun, and then an injury due to somebody twisting their ankle or something while they were running from the shooter.
Yeah.
So that might be.
Yeah.
That might be it.
I don't mean to laugh at that. I'm just thinking of how when an airplane comes to an emergency landing and people have to evacuate, the only injuries are from the people sliding down the big inflatable slides on the side of the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
But that's another case of had she had a semi-automatic assault rifle, it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah. So, you know, it really goes down to... are you proving your point at all? You know what I mean? By saying that it was a handgun instead of an assault rifle,
yeah.
If this is all that happened. I don't know. It's and when I say you proving your point, I mean the fictional people that aren't actually saying anything to us about this. But yeah, it just goes to show you that hoping for more interesting, diverse mass shooters may not necessarily help.
My goodness, what?
Well, you know,
I. Oh man, the, no,
the,
I
the
can't.
The people who say, why is it always this demographic that does stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so much of it is wrapped up in entitlement stuff and all that.
So are you saying you want your mass shooters to be diverse?
I'm not saying that I want our mass shooters to be diverse. I'm just saying that, you know, we put out there that they're all a certain type of person.
Right.
And then the universe complies with our, you know, notes that we give it. But not in a good way, necessarily. All right. Ben, I am talking a whole bunch of BS about this thing. obviously, I am... Like I said, the only thing is there's a movie that I really like called The Color of Pomegranates. It's going to be coming out on Blu-ray by Criterion. I want to get a copy of it. And some of the art choices that the shooter made in her videos and stuff like that mimic it a little bit. Not a lot, maybe not on purpose. But it's weird to see somebody with an artistic aesthetic that is, it's like...
Have YouTube not removed all of her videos by now?
Maybe they have. I'm talking more like their photographs of clips of them.
Okay.
It's what comes up when you do an image search.
Yeah.
On the person, basically. And yeah, I'm sure that it'll probably be scrubbed eventually. But.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, when I saw that it was, she wasn't Muslim. We learned that. But when she was, ethnic, that all of the people that I know are just gonna just grasp onto that and use it, and she will probably be an example on that side of things for a long time, even after the next mass shooting perpetrated by a white man.
If I've learned anything, right, it is that no matter what the people who do these things express as their belief system, the shooting of people should kind of outweigh all that stuff, in my opinion. Does that make sense?
It does.
There was this is one of those keep it wrong things, but when I was... I don't know. This is when I was back in Seattle. You might remember me talking about this. There were two videos that got really popular for a little bit. One was an African-American woman in a classroom freaking out and becoming violent when talking about police shooting people. And then the other one was a white flight attendant freaking out and becoming violent, talking about Muslims and 9/11 on an airplane.
Oof.
These two things became very popular around the same time. And the responses to the YouTube of the airline shooters versus the YouTube of the student were stark. You know, the airline stewardess people were saying, oh, I hope she gets the help she needs. Everyone's under a lot of stress right now, yeah. That sort of thing. And the ones of the students were like, well, this is what happens when you give scholarships away to the wrong people, you know, stuff like just really classist, mean stuff.
Right.
And my point when these two things happened was whatever is happening to these two women at this time, right, is the same, right? The symptoms of what they're saying are different, right? One of them is talking about police brutality. One of them is talking about terrorism. But there are two things that are large and things that they're not in control of,
yeah.
Right? And they're being upset
and trying to lash out at the people around them. And my point was that we're treating these two people as though they're, you know, as these are two totally separate things, two totally separate causes. But the behavior is so incredibly similar.
Yeah.
That I was speculating that it could be that they're on the same kind of medication, or that they're, you know, there's some sort of, you know, similar medical condition that they're experiencing because of how similar their behavior
or extreme similar personalities, regardless of medicine.
Very possible, very possible. But in both cases, it was kind of insane, sort of. Like, what they were saying made sense, kind of, but also had an element of word salad to it, because it didn't have a lot to do with what was going on. I think the 9/11 thing, of course, while being on an airplane, I guess that has context, right? The classroom thing, it was a biology class, I believe, and it was very tangential, the difference between what they were talking about in class and what the woman was talking about. So,
well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily require somebody to have an excuse to talk about police brutality.
No, not at all. But it was, this was, I do remember that if the Black Lives Matter, sorry, if the Black Lives Matter movement had been around at that time, that clip would have been, would have gotten a lot more traction.
Yeah.
But this was before Ferguson. This was sort of an isolated thing at the time. I mean, people still were getting shot, and people were still, you know, saying that it was bad, but there wasn't, like, such a large national movement. And I wonder if it had been around, if that video would have gotten more play to discredit that thing.
Yeah. Who's to say?
I don't know.
Well, it's about getting to that time, Paul.
Who is to say? I think I know who's to say. Hey, Betty!
Oh, God. It's not really where I was going, but...
Yeah. Well, that's where we're headed, though.
Gotta keep this a brief one.
Okay, so this is really quick. This is going to be a quick one, because you and I need to go and get some stuff. We're going shopping.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one thing that stuck out in your mind as being super cool from the trip?
The tweet.
Did you describe... What you mean?
This how it's better than our actual house.
Yes. Betty is talking about the place where we stayed. It was very nice. There was a bedroom and then a pull-out couch, but the biggest thing, Ben?
Yeah.
Jacuzzi in the room.
Neat.
I took a jacuzzi every day.
I've seen those. I've not stayed in one of those, but I've seen them.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Great. So, yeah, and there are pools and stuff like that. But, okay, follow-up question, Betty. What did you think of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's true.
Yes?
Yeah, Betty?
I was listening to the conversation, and now I wonder. When
did the color of pomegranates even come out? Oh, probably, I want to say in the 80s.
Well, then why is it just now getting a Blu-ray?
Because it was a sort of a cult film. It's foreign. And a lot of people like it, but it had to come out on Criterion Collection. Because it was published such a long time ago that
you need to have a lot of interest in order to get a Blu-ray of stuff.
I'm going to just go look up something.
Well, there we go. So, Ben.
And there we go.
Thanks for listening. And again, we didn't solve anything this time.
I don't think we're not intending to solve any great social issues here.
I got to say, I'm going to call it, our time has passed to solve things. We're old guys now. We can try to support the people of the future, but...
Indeed.
We'll just got to make sure that nobody kills us, and then we'll be fine.
All right. And with that...
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm going to add just one thing. Wouldn't that be crazy that as long as nobody killed you, you would live forever?
Well,
how different would we live our lives?
You know, they say that the first person to live until 200 has already been born.
Whoa.
Futurists say
that. I want to meet that guy.
Or girl.
Or that girl. Yes. Probably a girl.
Or non-binary, depending.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Hey, alrighty. Think about it this way, Ben. If we live to be 200, shake it up a little. Who knows? you're gonna go through several lifetimes, I think.
Well, I mean, the thing about living until 200, like the second 100 and I'm gonna go ahead and say 40 years of your life are probably gonna be pretty terrible.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but I could always do that.
Yeah.
Please, on
that note, Ben, let me die.
it was great talking to you, Ben. And as always, I implore you, Ben, to keep it wrong.
Likewise. Keep it wrong, sir.
Keep it wrong.
I'll talk to you later.
See you later.
All right.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, shoot. Battery low. How long has this been?
Replace those batteries, Paul.
I think we're good. I'm just going to... I think it stopped at some point in time. We'll see. It'll be fun.
Oh, hooray.
Oh, battery's empty. We're done. Oh, okay, see you, Ben.
Oh, bye.
Bye.